You know, we have had some great singing. The worship team is doing a phenomenal job. We sang some great songs this morning about the Spirit. And then to hear the team band rocking about the proof of His love, it was great. And Mark took us to the cross. You know, that scripture, and he said that before the creation of the world, God already had a plan. Yeah. Our God is amazing. And He always knows what we need, and He gives us what we need. You know, today can also be a sad day for some who've lost their moms. I think about Jesus on John 19. He's on the cross in verse 26. He says, when Jesus saw His mother there and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to her, "Woman, here's your son." And to the disciple, "Here's your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. You know, our God, in His last moments, kept thinking of how to provide and meet that need. I think the kingdom is just like that, especially for those that have lost loved ones. That in the kingdom you can find mothers, sisters, brothers. There's so much to help continue to meet that need. You know, I know there was a special devotional yesterday. I really want to, you know, hold up the Crusades and Serena for just a great idea and a way of honoring and remembering our moms. That it's just very, very special. You know, there's a lot of good news going on in the church. You know, we're a big church, and so there's always stuff happening. A couple of weeks ago, Sari and I and the Piscos and the Brittos went out for lunch or dinner. And Esperanza is a sister who works for, I don't want to jack it up, but Channel 41, Spanish station. Yeah, Vision, what it? Univision. She told us, okay, she's told us that she was up for three Emmys. And she actually received two Emmys. And I thought, that is awesome. But you know, it's amazing because this time of the year, we sang this song about being blessed. I feel so blessed with the women in my life. My mom, my grandma Odessa, grandma Murdoch, and my mother-in-law, Mother Teresa, the original Mother Teresa. And I feel so, so blessed. They're still here. We're going to go celebrate them all today. And I just want to say, celebrate your moms, your grandmoms, while you have them, because truly they are a blessing in my life, and I thank them. I tell them all the time, "Grandma, when I grow up, I want to be just like you." But I also want to stroll back down memory lane for a moment. So this is 2004. I want you to listen closely. Huh? Jasmine what?
What's have one name.
One name? And what's your sister's name, Jasmine? I can't hear you. And who is this? Is this your friend? She's not your friend? What's your friend? All right, can you give her a hug? Give hugs. All right. All right. So that's Jasmine and Blair at 4 and 3 years old. But I think it's so fitting that in the fall they're going to both be disciples at William Patterson University. They're going to be co-workers on the mission field. But how did that happen? Well, they got two awesome moms that set a great example of faithfulness to them. And Sari and Patty are doing a splendid job in helping set the pace in that way. You know, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. This morning, I've entitled the message, Faith of a Sick Woman. Faith of a Sick Woman. We're going to look at a woman who made some decisions that changed her life and set an example that I think we can all imitate and that we can all grow from. So let's pray together and then let's jump into the Word. Right. Father in heaven, we first off want to thank you so much. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to come and serve and worship you and get to know you. Father, as we read your word, I pray that you open our hearts, that we hear the things that you want us to hear, that we see the things that we need to see. And so, Father, that you can help us, that we continue to fall in love with you, that we continue to see you in the way that we need to see you. But, God, that you would continue to allow us to grow in our trust and our love for you. We thank you so much again. And we pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with her. Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, here's how she's thinking, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around and in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" It's kind of like going to an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert, and everybody's pulling it in. And you know, he's like, "Who touched me?" Jesus, there's a crowd here, and his disciples, you know, were like, "You see the crowd of people against," he says, "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples ask, "and yet you ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, as if he didn't know. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The title again of this message this morning, Faith of a Sick Woman. I got two simple points this morning. One, she put her faith in Jesus. You know, we read this story, and this woman had been suffering for a pretty long time. She'd gone to many doctors. The Bible says that she spent all she had. And then it says she got worse. It's kind of like when you go on that diet, you lose that weight, and then it comes back a week and a half later. But it got worse. It got worse for this woman. And you know, it's almost understandable if she was, you know, a little bitter, a little negative. It's like, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried all this out there, but nothing seems to work. But you and I, you know, we might have that reaction, but you know what? That's not this woman's attitude. That's not her reaction. The Bible says that she heard about Jesus. So she never met him, but she just heard about him. And what she heard about him was that he was doing some phenomenal things. And so, you know, she's like, I got to get to this guy. And the Bible says that there was a crowd of people around Jesus. And then in her mind, she believed. He doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to put his hands on me. All I need to do is get to him and touch him. And I would be healed. You know, she wasn't thinking about the deductible that she probably paid in the past. She wasn't thinking about the copay. She was simply thinking that if I get to Jesus, I will be healed. And sure enough, in verse 29, she gets to him. She touches him. It says immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Can you imagine how this woman felt when she finally reached that point, when she finally found the solution to the issue that was causing her pain and suffering? She finally found it. And the Bible says she knew it. She felt it immediately. Something changed. You know, guys, sometimes we are a lot like this woman. We're searching for healing. We're searching for freedom from suffering, whatever that might be in our lives. Sometimes we're searching for love in all the wrong places. We're searching for fulfillment. We're searching for hope. We're searching for meaning and purpose. We're searching for joy and freedom. But we're going in all of the wrong places. Man, we're spending money on this. We're listening to tapes about this. We're going on all the places trying to find this thing that's going to heal us. But it keeps coming up empty. You know, sometimes people think, if I drink it away and forget about it, that it goes away. And they wake up the next day, a little hungover, but the problem still exists. Oh, I found the love of my life. He's the one. She's the one. Until we really get to know them. And then they start, you know, disappointing us with their humanness. Because they're people. You know, sometimes, boy, I know I've fallen into this one. I just want to win. I never realized how addicted to winning I really was. And sometimes can still be. But sports being the best. We won this. We did that. Last for a moment. And then what? Well, you may win. You may have the championship. You may do this or you may do that. But it doesn't fulfill you. Things, sometimes, we think, if I get this, if I get that, if I wear these types of shoes and sneakers, people are going to respect me. If I drive this kind of car, that means I'm successful. And things, unfortunately, don't fulfill us. You know, even as a disciple, I've fallen into this trap that if I'm reading my Bible, if I'm praying and I'm sharing my faith and I'm doing the things of a Christian, that's what's going to make me happy. If I'm helping people come to church, if I'm studying the Bible, I'm baptizing people, I'm doing it, that's all good, but it doesn't fulfill us. There's only one thing that you and I need. That's Jesus. And the more we keep focusing on that, the better we understand what this woman understood. She experienced the life change because of her relationship with Jesus. This one interaction, this one thought, this one thing in her mind is that if I put my faith in him, it's going to work out. You know, many of us here, we can attest to that, right? We were living a certain way, then we put our faith in Jesus, and things changed and turned around. Things started going in the right place. But it's because we put our faith in Jesus. Has anybody here ever touched Jesus' hand? Anybody ever had him? I don't want to ask that question because some of us might say, yeah, he talked to me last night. And I don't want to get into that debate right now. The point is, he was physically there. She physically touched him. He physically told her what was going on. You know, Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know, we got this opportunity to have an amazing relationship with a God that we can't see, touch, feel, or hear. But he's real because of faith, because of his word. You know, this woman didn't let the crowd stop her. This woman didn't let her fears get in the way. She didn't let her doubts, because of the things that happened in the past, stop her. She didn't let skepticism or illness or the fear of being rejected prevent her from going after Jesus. Let's put our faith and pursue him the way she did. Not just when we want something. Not just when things get bad. Not just when we hear about, oh, this person had this. But each and every day, I want to be close to Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus. I want to walk with him. You know, this woman put her faith in Christ, and then he did the rest. Secondly, she put her trust in Jesus. Now, it's interesting because I thought, well, what's the difference between faith and trust? Well, faith, you don't need evidence to believe it. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see, right? But trust is different. Because trust requires you to depend on someone else. Are you with me? Think about this. Imagine walking down a street, and at one point, you step out into the well-marked crossway. In doing so, you are putting trust in other people. Right? You trust the drivers of the cars and the trucks who are completely strangers. And you're saying they're going to behave safely. They're going to drive in a right way. You expect them to obey the traffic laws. You trust these drivers will be skilled and sober enough to observe you walking in the middle of the street and will come to a stop so that you can get to the other side safely. And it's interesting because you and I know, based on evidence, that there are a lot of traffic issues, fatalities, and things that happen because, you know, people make unwise decisions. But here's the thing. Even though those things happen, when you're walking down the street and you cross the street, you decide that you're going to do that again. We step out onto the crossway without even thinking about the risk that we're taking. We look both ways like Mom told us. And this is because trust is a fundamental part of our lives. We have no choice than to trust other people. This woman, she reached the end of her rope, and she decided that she was going to put her trust in Jesus. And the Bible says power came out of him when she touched him. Now, nobody else knew how the power of Jesus transformed this woman's life except her. And I think Jesus was kind of playing a little game there, and he's looking around, who touched me? And he waited so that then she could share her faith. And she shared in front of all of those crowds of people what he had done. And then what did he do? He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Because she decided to put her, not only faith, but her trust in Jesus. I want you to listen to a story here. So, a lot of you guys know, you know, that's Sam Powell with the Kango on. Sam, years ago, was the campus minister and the evangelist for the Tallahassee Church some time ago. Sam studied the Bible with our very own Chuck Royal when Chuck was a college student in Florida, and Chuck has shared about this. Well, then Chuck helped a guy named Franklin become a Christian, and Franklin led a Bible talk or, you know, whatnot, and Franklin reached out to Danny Vasquez, and Danny became a Christian. Now, what's kind of interesting about this story is Danny came back home from college, didn't do well spiritually, and left the Lord. But before he left the Lord, he reached out to his brother and his sister, and they two became disciples of Christ while he was on his way out. 23 years later, this brother right here was Danny's campus minister, Doug Lambert. And that's his wife. And there's his, one of Danny's sons, Willie. So Doug came back to town in Baltimore Danny goes down, and to hear him preach in Baltimore, Danny comes back to New Jersey. He says, all right, I'm surrendering. 23 years later, Danny surrenders his life, comes to his senses, comes back to Jesus, makes him Lord of his life. But now Danny's not a college student anymore. Danny's a middle-aged guy, not really, but kind of. He's in his 40s, but he's got 5 kids. And I remember as we talked and he described just being restored and talked about being away from God and thinking about it almost every day. Went and started studying the Bible with people and just knowing the good he ought to do and yet kind of not being able to do it. But when he decided to surrender and come home, God proved faithful. And what's so cool is now Danny's boys, Willie and Michael, are both disciples. And I just want to say this. Many of us have friends that have left the Lord. Let me remind us of something. Let's not ever give up. Let's always keep praying for our friends. Let's always keep praying and being a friend to those that may have left the Lord. But it's so amazing. You know, we saw Michael get baptized a couple weeks ago. But now it's seeing these young men learn how to put their trust in Jesus. Learning how to experience the power of Jesus working in their lives. When you see things like this, you know, I text Sam. I said, Sam, hey, I'm thinking about sharing this tomorrow, you know, at church. And I said, is it okay? And he's like, sure. I said, Sam, you know this makes you a great-great-grandfather, right? In the faith. But I think, wow, how many stories are waiting to be told? How many lives are waiting to be impacted? Like this woman who touched the hem of his garment. Power came from Jesus. See, I want to ask you this morning, what do you have your trust in? Is it something other than Jesus? Because something other than Jesus doesn't last forever. Something other than Jesus does not satisfy your soul. Something other than Jesus does not make you whole. And so we can get it, you know, get this, do that, accomplish this, you know, fulfill all of these things. But when it comes back to the most important thing in life, it comes back to our relationship with God. Our lives started with God, whether we realize that or not. And one day it's going to end with God, whether we realize that or not. I want to encourage you to put your trust in this one who's going to help you get across that highway, who's not going to drive drunk, who's not going to lead you astray, but who's going to protect you and guide you all the way home. You know, as we conclude this morning, I want to, again, say happy Mother's Day to the moms. You know, this sick woman, I don't know if she was a mom. I don't know if she, you know, had kids. But the thing I'm so impressed with was she put her faith in Jesus. And she put her trust in our awesome Lord. Put your faith in Jesus. Faith comes from what? Hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. You know, if you're visiting and you don't know where to begin, I really want to encourage you to take out some time with whoever brought you, or come talk to me. If you're a guy, talk to my wife if you're a woman. But seriously, take time to get to know this Jesus. This woman only heard about him. You and I have been reading about him for years. Oh, what he can do. If you're studying the Bible and you see who Jesus is and you're developing a faith, I want to encourage you to continue down this path, because he's going to make you whole like this woman. He's the one that can heal the hurts deep down in our souls. And lastly, if you're a disciple, let's continue that walk of faith. You know, we're going to get ready to sing a song. I always love to hear it. One of my favorite singers. We've come this far by faith. Let's be like this woman and continue to walk by faith, not by sight. Trust Jesus' promise. Let's continue to see generations of believers who follow in Jesus' footsteps, because you set a great example, like this woman who put her faith and trust in Jesus. To God be the glory.